Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell,
joined by his friend.
Oh no!
And his friend Charles. We're getting it someday.
Yeah. Way to jump the intro and someone else in the distance in the fog.
Listen, and their friend, Andy K, and I just had a realization.
Uh-huh.
Question for you, because I think my computer might be haunted. So earlier today, my computer turned on by itself from a completely power-off state. And I just checked the uptime on my computer, and it's from the time the computer turned on. What turns on a computer when it's off?
Windows, being Windows. It can wake from LAN.
What's on my LAN? What is talking to my computer?
You know, people.
Who? Because I was thinking maybe it's wake on LAN. But who can talk to my computer? I'm literally freaking out. This is going to be on my mind. So I just want to let you know, as we go through these topics, rolling in the back of my mind is which of these companies have figured out how to hack into my computer. What did they do? Install updates?
I mean, that's that's what I'm thinking.
No, there's pending updates. It's pending. There wasn't even a restart.
Huh.
Anyways, I want to let you know I got my tinfoil cap on right now. I'm a little bit freaked out. How do I run a virus scan?
Well, I feel like Andy's paranoia is reasonable because, as we all know, today is 420. Air horns go here.
That's right.
And as we all know, we celebrate 420 because that's right. Congress established the U.S. Mint on this date in 1862.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep. Mark Twain also died at the age of 75 in 1910. And the French army revolted in Algeria in 1961. It's a sore topic. Don't bring it up.
No.
And for that, people smoke weed.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's those three things are why people smoke weed on this date.
That's what I've always known.
Mm-hmm. Listen, no one's.
I don't know how to run a virus scan.
Oh my God.
I typed in virus scan and nothing pops up.
No, you
don't. How do you run one?
It's called Windows Defender. But don't do it while we're running a podcast.
I'm telling you, I'm freaking out.
Well, Andy, you know who I think did it?
I want to know, please.
I think Amazon did it because they lost the ability to make the Lord of the Rings MMO that they were working on.
Did anyone remember they were working on it?
I did. No. So,
well,
if you
how
were...
do you feel about this news then?
I mean, it's sad. You know, it's another hit to the fact that tech companies coming in and realizing, oh man, game development, not the easiest thing in the world. So Amazon reportedly has canceled its Lord of the Rings MMO. That's basically because it was being developed by Amazon Game Studios in addition to this Chinese company, which is Leiyu Technologies Holding Limited, which was then purchased by Tencent in December of last year. And then basically Amazon and Tencent couldn't come to like a contracting agreement how to do the development work, because what I'm assuming is the folks at Amazon Game Studios are all the big picture guys. Wouldn't it be cool? And then the actual development was probably happening at that Chinese based developer. But
and it was in development for 2 years?
Yeah.
All that money.
I mean, this also comes on the heels of the announcement that Amazon has spent about $500 million on the Lord of the Rings television series that they're working on. So Amazon was really kind of going all in on a Lord of the Rings style existence there.
Do you think? I mean, Lord of the Rings was popular when, not the books. I mean, when it was cool to see that, like, Lord of the Rings is what the was what fantasy is to Marvel movies is now.
Kind of.
Like, it was cool to see Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
but no one cares about Lord of the Rings anymore.
That's patently untrue.
No one cares, not a single person. 2001.
Yeah, they just re-released the whole thing in 4K.
How much money was in that?
Probably a good amount. I bought it.
Oh, that's fair. How does it look?
Beautiful.
Good.
But no, it's it's just interesting. It's just another high profile failure in the world of Google and Amazon trying to break into gaming. When will they get their hit is what I'm wondering.
When will they release a game? Have they released anything since they started the studio?
I don't think so. Well, all right, here we go. This joins Breakaway and Crucible as yet another canceled project for Amazon Game Studios. That's right. They released Crucible, and it was so bad they took it back into beta.
That's right.
And
that's
then right. canceled it.
That's
so,
right.
So, yeah, this is not going well for them.
Listen, you think Amazon would have enough money to solve every problem.
Well, I think that's the problem, right? It's they're thinking of it as just a coding project when it's really a creative project.
Wait, I got a theory. Amazon Games unionized, and so they just shut it down.
If it's a Chinese-based studio, I almost guarantee they didn't unionize, Andy.
Listen, that collective bargaining, that's one thing Amazon is black and white about.
Listen, they got to keep prices low by making sure that you can't have a living wage or know what else anyone else makes at your distribution
That's
center.
That's true.
It's not, and just remember, they're not upset that their employees piss into bottles. They're just upset that you know about it.
That's exactly it. Listen, they apologize, all right, for joking about it.
That's exactly what they should have done. Mm-hmm. Charles, any thoughts on the Lord of the Rings MMO crashing and failing as our resident MMO expert?
No. It was an MMO that was announced a long time ago, and then nothing came of it. So nothing useful to say. That's pretty much it. It's just nothing.
All right, then let's move on to our next topic.
Who even wants an MMO? There's already a Lord of the Rings MMO.
There is,
who
actually.
Who wants an MMO?
I mean, anyone? The people playing the current MMO who want a better MMO.
That is fair. That is fair.
Again, I think this was much like we discussed last week about Sony wanting a Last of Us ready to go for when the Last of Us show on HBO lands. Mm-hmm. They're looking for a situation where they could have the Lord of the Rings series and then tie in quests in the Lord of the Rings MMO. Cross media promotion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, well, I mean, let's move from failure to wild success.
Ooh.
As we talk about a Kickstarter that launched just today, and if I could ever friggin' open the link, copy link, there it goes. You have to forgive me. It's 420. I'm so excited by Mark Twain's death.
I'm grieving.
Chris Metzen of Blizzard fame has launched his Kickstarter for a 5e Dungeons and Dragons fantasy campaign setting, which has in the 8 hours it's been up blown its $50,000 goal away and is currently sitting at $467,000.
Okay.
$467,291.
That's true. I'm sorry. I was being reductive.
It's very fun to see the number go up. We all know that for gamers.
Yeah. Yeah,
did
we talked
to go live today.
Yeah, it went live like 8 hours ago.
Yeah.
So I need explained to me why this is so popular and so many people care. Because I Googled this guy and I saw Blizzard and I was like, well, I'll need someone to explain this to me.
Yeah. You want to take the history of Christmas and Charles?
Yeah. Andy, Chris Metzen is responsible.
Mm.
For everything Blizzard that you can recall in your life.
Oh.
If you remember even the illustrations of Warcraft and Starcraft in the little game profiles, he was also the artist in addition to being the game designer. For
oh, okay. So he, oh.
And didn't he create Thrall too?
He did.
Yeah.
And we'll forgive him for it.
What's wrong with that?
So Chris Metzen went on from all the success and being part of everything in the early life of Blizzard to become one of the main story and world builders. So he was involved in almost every project for Blizzard, including his last one was Overwatch. And that
even wrote the lore for that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And you know, in addition to doing that, he was also the voice of many of your favorite units in all those RTS games. He was the voice of Thrall, yes, but he was also the Terran Marine in StarCraft. He voiced the peons in Warcraft, I believe.
Is he the one who told me that we need more lumber? Is that one of them?
He was the Zug Zug guy.
Yeah. You know, when you click on the peon enough times and it'll say like Zug Zug.
Oh.
And other stuff. Lumber, but yeah. Unfortunately. It's okay. I get you. But yeah, so Chris Metzen, and then he retired because of like, you know, work-life balance and wanting to do his thing. And he retired from a very high spot in Blizzard. I think he was like lead creative director of almost every product.
Yeah.
Many years ago. And it was only after, what, 3-4 years now since his retirement that he was like, you know what? I'm going to do another new thing. Start my own tabletop company. Wow. with some of my friends. And the fun part about this entire thing is that, you know, a lot of the Blizzard alumni people from the older days left Blizzard and eventually started their own company. Many high profile people, Mike Morhaime, the former CEO, lots of the lead designers of all those other favorite Blizzard games, StarCraft, Warcraft, Diablo, broke off and did their own studios. So Chris announcing his thing after a couple of years of retirement was very nice, because you're like, well, Chris got out when the going was good. Like, Blizzard was at the, when he retired, people had a reasonably good opinion of Blizzard. They're like, yeah, we like Blizzard. Things are kind of getting stale, but we still like Blizzard. We love Blizzard.
Heroes of the Storm is taking the world by storm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, remember, you know, so he retired shortly, like around the time Overwatch launched, and people loved Overwatch. It became a successful new franchise. You know, with the help of many people, including a director that we'll talk about later today, later in this podcast, named Jeff Kaplan. But yeah, so he goes, you know what, guys? Here's my first thing: D&D 5e campaign setting. And I go, well, Chris, you've been the lead of all my favorite games and franchises world building. And now you're giving me a campaign setting in D&D. I'm quite interested.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it on the Kickstarter, it says it's based on a role-playing campaign that Chris ran with his childhood friends in the 80s and 90s before he headed to Blizzard to work on such on worlds such as Warcraft, StarCraft, and more. So
that's really sweet. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This, if anyone has pedigree, all right, it sounds like this guy. But will he fall into the Kickstarter trap? Will this be another Mighty Number 9
or
D&D books?
Or will the stink of Blizzard failure just crawl along to him?
No, he got out when the going was good.
Andy, there's no getting out.
That's fair.
It's just, he's tainted. He was there. He drank of the fell pool.
Well, that's curious. I can understand why people would be hopeful. And it doesn't sound like he should let he'll let people down.
Andy, look at that Salamar class. Look at him.
That looks like a mascot character.
That's right.
Actually, no. It just looks like a cute animal. Maybe not mascot.
You know how many people are going to play the Gecko? But that guy? Thousands, Andy. Thousands.
That I can imagine. Wait, is one of the tiers miniatures?
They give you 3D printing files for miniatures. But I think that's just an add-on now. Let me scroll down here. Yeah, they've already blown through a ton of their add-ons. Yeah, here we go.
This is wonderful. I really hope the best for it, honestly. What's the delivery date?
March 2022. Yeah, March 2022, which that gives him a whole year, mm-hmm. which is a reasonable amount of time. You have to figure a lot of this is probably done already.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives them a year to figure out how to like do distribution and all that, especially when there's not a pandemic, hopefully raging the world anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's wonderful.
I want to see this because I noticed this earlier and I wanted to check it again now. But when I first time I checked it, the top tier is a $200 tier. Most people, that was the most backers. So let's see. Right now, really? It is at 1,100 backers for the $200 tier. That's 700 for the 125. Charles, you're dying. Mute your mic.
No. Yep. No, they need to know this is where it ended.
Listen, you can die, but it has to be good radio. Yeah, it's still in a place where that $200 tier is the highest tier. And the second highest tier is the $125 tier, which I'm not sure what that says, but it is an interesting fact. Because usually you see, like, you know, the $50 tier, like the $30 tier is like far and away the highest one. And here you have like the most expensive tier being the highest one. So I think that speaks to like very dedicated, very interesting people backing this.
Get those books, get those hardcovers. That's great. I really hope it turns out well. I do.
Yeah, Andy, you're not wishing for Chris Metzen's failure?
No. Why would I wish anyone failure except for that Sony guy? Screw him. But Sony guy? I already forgot his name. The Sony guy, the Republican. What's his name?
Jim Ryan?
You mean the not actually Republican?
I don't know. He's a congressman or something.
No, he's not a congressman. He's the head of Sony, SIE, Sony Interactive Entertainment.
I don't like him.
Andy,
this guy hasn't done anything wrong.
Andy, would it surprise you to know that Jim Ryan put out a statement the other day or earlier this week saying that they're not going to close the PS3 and Vita stores due to widespread feedback?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's listening. Yeah, I had read that, and I felt a little bit better after reading that, and then I got mad that I ever had to feel that way in the first place. Come on, Jim Ryan.
This is going to be real awkward when we're accepting the Lifetime Achievement Award from Jim Ryan.
Oh, wait, maybe that doesn't make him a Republican. He listened to others. I don't know. Now I gotta rethink this.
Now you have to think about how you are, Andy. And you know what? Maybe I can help with that self-reflection.
I want you to tell me.
You know what I want you to reflect upon? The fact that Portal 2 was 10 years ago.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Not even the first Portal. Nope. The second Portal.
That's right.
Wait, what tired memes do we recite from Portal 2? Did Portal 2 spin
the lemon speech is from Portal 2. It's all J.K. Rowling stuff.
I don't even remember.
The lemon speech was like, you know what you do when life gives you lemons? You tell life you don't want your lemons. You want life's manager. You take those lemons and make them into combustible ammo for a lemon shooting gun that you develop. I'm mangling it, but that's the
oh boy, he is.
I'm no J.K. Rowling.
See life's manager and make them take the lemons back. That was all there.
No, there's more though. He talks about turning into a gun to shoot them or something like that.
Yeah.
Also on that announcement, someone has released a basically kind of a remastered mod for it.
Oh, just like up-resing the textures and stuff?
A little bit, yeah. Kind of correcting some foibles, I think they added ray tracing to it as well.
Naturally. That was a good game. That was a good game.
Oh, actually, no.
I don't
even
know what more to say about it.
Actually, no, these are new maps, so forgive me. I didn't even look too much into it. But yeah, these are new maps for Portal 2.
I even liked the song better in it at the end. I already forgot the first one, but I remember at the second one, I remember at the end of it, I was like, this is better. Oh, and didn't it have like a national song in it too for some reason? I don't know, but maybe it's a good thing we didn't get a third one because the second one improved in every way. And what's the third one going
to
do?
Well, Andy, as we all know, Valve can't count to three, so.
That's right. Well, they can make episodes. Oh, but they still can't count to three.
That's right. They only got to episode two.
Oh, no. It's tough. Oh, we only have a Left 4 Dead 2?
Yeah.
Wait. We only have two Counter-Strikes.
Yep.
The corkboard is being put on the wall. Just slowly. My God.
I don't know any other properties they made.
Let's see here. So we already covered Half-Life. Team Fortress 2.
Oh my god. This is wild.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of another one. Oh, hold on. Now I gotta look
did,
at this.
Did Steam ever reach version 3.0? Let's check the version of Steam. What are you at, bud? Ugh, it's updating. Maybe Steam's the one turning on my computer.
That's entirely possible. Let's see here. Half-Life, Team Fortress, Ricochet, Counter-Strike, Day of Defeat. Yep. No, there's no two of Day of Defeat. That was a great game. Half-Life 2, Portal, Team Fortress 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Portal 2, Dota 2, Counter-Strike Online 2.
This is wild.
The Lab, Artifact, Dota Underlords, Half-Life Alyx. Half-Life Alyx, I would say, is potentially the closest you could ever get to a 3, but they didn't call it 3, did they? Also, I guess it's not a Gordon Freeman game. It's an Alyx game, so it's not technically the same. Yeah, they've never released the third of a game series.
Well, there we go.
Yep.
All right. Man, there was not a lot of news this week, but more... More late breaking news that we can cover today. Speaking of the stench of Blizzard, Jeff Kaplan has left Blizzard.
Okay, I need you to also explain why this person is different from the other person.
Okay, so
settle in.
There's a creative director, and then there's the game director.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Is that it? Is that all?
That's it. All right. Next story. Right. Let's go.
Nice and done. So there's a lot of significance for this game director to be leaving Blizzard. One, this is yet another in a big succession of high profile employees of Blizzard leaving the company. So Jeff Kaplan has been with the company, about 12 years, 19 years?
19 years, yeah.
19 years. And with it, you know, I believe he was mostly part of WoW when he originally joined, designed raids, if I recall. And then eventually, graduated to head up and become the director for Overwatch, which is a big deal. So the thing that's most important here to understand, too, is that Jeff was the last one in all the major games currently being developed right now in Blizzard that people remembered and actually had a completely reasonable attitude towards. people like Jeff Kaplan. I mean, there's Ion, which is the current lead director still for World of Warcraft, but people don't have a good opinion on him. They saw Ion was a game director long enough for people to really hate him right now. Jeff is the last person of like completely goodwill that people have in Blizzard as a community, and he's gone now. And reading his letter, his statement, it is one, very Jeff Kaplan, is very short and to the point. But the other, if you notice, somebody corrected his own capitalization. It was he never used proper capitalization and everything, which made it even more believable that he. But the interesting thing about this is Overwatch 2 is supposed to come out. Jeff is leaving before Overwatch 2 is coming out. Mm-hmm. And it leads to lots of speculation on how is Overwatch 2 doing.
Jeff says it's continuing at a good pace.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Continuing the most, at a good pace into a pit.
Yeah. And, you know, this is all speculation. We don't know much else. But, you know, Jeff had a lot of cred in the community because he was, one, he's calmed down a lot, but a long time ago he was not calmed down. Let me read his very famous when he was like a raid leader in a guild in EverQuest. It is the funniest letter I've ever seen as a complete feedback for a game, and this is him. Let me just read this real quick. This is old. whoever came up with this sheer fisting of an encounter can go fuck themselves. Do me a favor so I don't waste my guild's time on this kind of jackass shitfest again. Send me an email at tagoli@legacyofsteel.net when you decide to A, implement an encounter that wasn't designed by a retarded chimp changed to a cubicle. A, get a quality assurance department. C, actually beta test the fucking thing. And D, patch it live. And please, for God's sake, do it in the order I laid out for you. Don't worry, I won't charge you for a consulting fee on that one. And for good luck, you might as well E, pull your heads out of your asses. While you're at it, rename the game to Beta Quest since you used up your allotted false advertising karma on the bizarre and user interface scam of 01. Fix the Emperor encounter. Fix Seru. Rethink your time sync bullshit. Fix all the buggy motherfucking ring encounters. I suggest you let whoever made the Burrow one do this, since that dude apparently laid off the crack the rest of you were smoking. Let me see here. I'm not done. Fix a VT key quest. Fix VT. Just guessing is fucked up considering your track record. Don't have the resources to fix this stuff. Move the entire Planes of Power team over to fixing Shadows of Lucklin and do it now. And if you don't fix Lucklin, you jackasses will be the only one playing the Planes of Power.
Sincerely, that was Jeff Kaplan.
Yep. And his username, Tagoli, is actually shorthand for Tiggle Bitties. It used to be Tiggle Bitties until it became a more...
is great.
Yeah. And to be fair, I believe he helped design Molten Core, which is a lot of classic WoW Raiders, one of their favorite raids.
It's a great raid.
So, yeah. So a lot of people respected him a lot.
despite his use of problematic language in the current day. Whoops. Yeah, but you know, gamers, what are you gonna do? A lot of people like thought Jeff's one of us, he speaks off the cuff, a lot of people
insulting other people's hard work.
To be fair, EverQuest was terrible. I said it. Come at me. Come at me, all 10 people who still like EverQuest.
Yeah, people still play that.
They do.
And EverQuest 2. Both of them are going. Well, I guess 11 and 14 are still going too. So EverQuest. How many expansions
It's just not a good look for Overwatch 2 when most people are already going, so why am I paying $60 for this?
Yeah, you'd think if you had invested years in something, you know, you'd want to see it delivered, right? You'd want to be there to, well, I can't assume people's motivations, but I think it's telling to leave something before it's finished.
Yeah. To wildly speculate, I would assume Jeff was probably pushing, because Jeff has a fairly good pro gamer stance, right? I would expect Jeff was the one who made it so all the new maps and I believe characters that would come in Overwatch 2 would also be in base Overwatch. So the only reason to get Overwatch 2 is the single player campaign and I think some graphical updates.
Oh, okay.
And I have a feeling that Jeff's ideal would actually be that Overwatch 2 was just, there was no Overwatch 2 and they just released a single player campaign and released the graphical updates for free.
Yeah.
If I had to guess. But, and I'm sure there's a lot of tension on him from a corporate side of, we need to monetize this game more. Which, frankly, other than the real money auction house, wasn't Overwatch really like the first game that had a pretty distinct monetization? Because Overwatch was before Heroes came out, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's close to a very similar. But yeah, like Overwatch was the first game with like a blatant microtransaction to get what you know, cosmetics type of deal for Blizzard. Like the real money auction house was like, you know, was this thing where this is for game functionality. With Overwatch, they landed like a sweet spot where it didn't feel like they were completely like screwing you over. Because they did say, you know, it's loot boxes, but it's only ever going to be for cosmetics, and that's it.
Except for one Reinhardt skin. There was one Reinhardt skin where his voice line for his heroic was shorter than normal, and it gave enemy teams less time to react to his heroic because of it.
Really?
Yeah, they fixed that though, but it was funny for a while.
That's kind of great.
It also speaks to how over-engineered or the skill cap level of pro Overwatch is.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, it's absolutely interesting. I wasn't going to buy Overwatch 2. I don't, this does not inspire confidence into me to change that opinion anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, what's it? You know, Blizzard as a company, I've lost faith in years ago. So, I haven't been really doing much with them for a long time. So, it's all just par. It's all the same.
It's just sad to see
more things go.
Yeah.
I will say early reviews of Diablo 2, what is it, Resurrected came out, previews. They were pretty overwhelmingly positive of it not just being a cash grab, which is interesting. And cool. It's so tough. Diablo is the one thing they got their hold on me with still. The support of Diablo 3 has been very well. They just launched season 23 of Diablo 3, I want to be, and I popped in to play, I don't know, like a week's worth, and it's still so fun. And they've optimized that game to just be so perfectly fun of just, you're getting loot, you're switching stuff out, the builds are fun, you know, the legendaries augment the trees so much. They've done such a good job of making Diablo 3 a good game.
Make me well for 4.
I'm hoping. But
how long did it take for Diablo 3 to get good?
A year? Two?
I want to say, well, you needed the X-Pack, so that was at least a year and a half, too. And then they had to get through, like, the first couple seasons to, like, season, like, 6 or 8. So I want to say it took Diablo 3, like, 3 to 4 years to really get to that sweet spot that it's been in right now. But let me tell you, it's great. I have played Path of Exile. I have played Torchlight. It's just not as good. It is not as good as Diablo 3. And I know I will get shit from Path of Exile people for saying that. But it just doesn't scratch the same itch that Diablo does.
Sure. Well, I hope the best. Is it hard to screw up Diablo 2?
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, it's called Diablo Immortals.
Yeah. Wait, which one was Diablo Immortals?
That was the famous, do you have... Yeah. Everyone was like, we have big Diablo news at our BlizzCon, and then they announced the mobile Diablo.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Huh? We'll see. Or, you know, 4 years after Diablo 4. Who knows?
Yeah. Well,
who knows?
So, speaking of old games, be old. There's some free stuff for people who are listening right now. Horizon.
Ooh, is it a giveaway?
No. Although that is a great way to build support for your channel.
No, we are doing a giveaway right now. We worked with Sony, all right, to broker a deal. Jim Ryan, I called him up. He was so apologetic and understanding. It was very sweet. He said he would give, what was the game? Horizon?
Horizon Zero Dawn, the complete edition.
Horizon Zero Dawn, complete edition. That means you get that expansion. I forget the name.
Frozen Wastelands. Frozen Wilds.
So you get both of those. Both of those for free to keep. This isn't some PS Plus, you know, have it till you lose it. Thanks, Jim Ryan. Oh, God, I can't even fake that. No. No, Jim Ryan. You and I are not on good terms yet. But it's a great game.
It is a great game. I have tried to pick it back up. There's a new game plus mode on it, which almost, it does a great thing of it skips the tutorial area for you when you do it. But if you haven't played the game in 4 years, you kind of need that tutorial. So it did leave me a little bit like, I have all these weapons and I don't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. But it is something I do want to go back and play. You have from now until May 14th to claim that. I can maybe give you a little insider baseball. That's a reference that you may get in a second as to why they announced that today, which is just to kind of maybe push something out of the news cycle, which is MLB The Show, storied PlayStation exclusive baseball game, is live now on Xbox and available on Game Pass right now.
What?
Yeah.
They jump ship?
No, they didn't jump ship. So it's on PlayStation, but it's on Xbox and on Game Pass. So it is basically the best place to play MLB The Show right now.
I know people would buy the PlayStation to get The Show.
Yeah, no more.
They literally bought into that ecosystem because of that game.
I believe that PlayStation, there was kind of a weird story about this early or late last year, basically kind of being like the studio that makes MLB The Show was kind of going, you gonna buy us? Because otherwise we're going to become a third party studio. And Sony went, eh. So now they're releasing it on Xbox and PlayStation.
Jim Ryan turns down Kojima. He turns down The Show. What is this man thinking?
I wish we had more fans. So especially art one, like art like artistic ones, so that we could get fan art of Andy and Jim Ryan boxing.
Well, here's one thing. When did Jim Ryan head up Sony, and how did their stock price change when he took
it did very well because Jim Ryan turned Sony Europe around during the PS3 era.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was also championed games as a service and things like that. So, you know, constant revenue streams and stuff like that. So he's good for shareholders.
You know, I heard a really interesting quote the other day.
Please share, Andy.
And I'm going to tell you. It's from the guy who ran Disney before the guy running it right now. Not Bob Iger, the guy before him.
Oh.
Essentially, the quote was that we have no obligation to make art. We have no obligation to make history. We have no obligation to make something important. We have to make money. And by the virtue of making money, we might make history, we might make something important, we might make art. But above it all, it's money.
Yeah, that's Eisner, Michael Eisner, who said that.
Yeah.
Also, Iger is not currently the CEO. Bob Chapek.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Did he just take over?
He did. It was last year.
Oh, never mind then. But regardless, I'm assuming Jim Ryan has that posted on every wall of his office, okay, in the entry of every building, because for some reason I'm propping up, you know, Sony as some, you know, our artistic studio, even though really their goal is always to make money. But it just sucks when you say it out loud, right? It's just, don't say it out loud. Just trick me. Please.
That's it. I think I finally understand Andy. Andy is treating Jim Ryan like how I feel about Blizzard. You know, this deep personal betrayal. Why did you do this? Tell me now. I demand answers.
I'm glad you used the right word, I think. Betrayal. I'm feeling betrayed, which is a silly thing to feel by a company, but I don't know. Sony's been such a part of like my childhood and growing up with the properties they published, but also featured on their platforms. And so to see them, you know, say out loud that money is the priority and toss it all aside, it's hurtful. And it's all Jim Ryan. He has no obligation to make art. It's an obligation to make money.
Speaking of art, Rockstar is also free stuff. Rockstar has put a surprise update out on LA Noir and Max Payne 3 on PC, giving everyone all the DLC for free. So if you have those games on PC and you feel like playing them, hey, guess what? You got all the DLC too. LA Noir specifically, I remember, had some fun DLC missions.
I never got to the Max Payne 3. I really enjoyed. That was a really good game.
It was a good game.
It was a good game. And I remember as I was playing it, I was thinking, why did Rockstar make this? Like, I'm happy they did, but why? Why did they make this? Because I don't know if it sold.
I think it didn't sell that well.
It stars an old, drunk, fat, washed-up person.
Oh, it was great.
It was fantastic. Like, it's, you know, those are the risks that you can take when you have money. Risks. I think Rockstar took a risk, you know, calculated risk by making that game. It wasn't high art, but it deviated from the norm. Sony certainly won't be doing that anymore. I don't know about Rockstar.
Well, speaking of deviating from the norm, Marvel released the trailer for its first Asian American hero, Shang. Oh, I'm saying Shang-Chi. and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
You know, it's the funniest thing about that whole thing is could have had we could have shown some early Iron Fist as well.
But Iron Fist was always a white guy. Or are you
there talking? There is a white guy, but like the as in like beforehand.
In what sense? I don't follow. What do you mean?
Like, there's older Iron Fist besides Danny Rand.
Oh, yes, yes.
So yeah, that was a funny part there. Where I was just like, oh, silly.
I do wonder if we might get some Danny Rand in here. Shang-Chi and Iron Fist have always been kind of with each other.
Right. With.
No, they fight a lot. And
right,
not
right, right. Fight,
oh,
fight.
They're with each other.
Just, no, and, like
no,
they.
No, I know. They're paired. Like, they
that's
team up
progressive.
A lot.
No, yeah. It, well, the thing is, so the
as
thing
a
is,
leading character too. Very.
So the thing with Shang-Chi is that he actually has no like superpowers, I guess, other than being really, really good at martial arts, which I guess you could say is kind of racist as an Asian hero, but neither here nor there.
we have to take them when we can, guys. Just so I know. We gotta get these when we can.
That's fair. But Danny Rand, who also superhero, good at martial arts, but also has power of dragon, Shang-Chi has often fought him to a standstill. Basically, they're kind of listed as equal in ability, even though Shang-Chi doesn't have any superpowers, and Danny Rand does. So he's also trained, like Marvel nerd James coming out, right? He's also trained Captain America. He's trained Wolverine. He's trained... anybody who's needed hand-to-hand combat training in the Marvel Universe, generally speaking, they send them to him.
Oh, interesting.
There's also kind of this idea of them setting up the West Coast Avengers with Shang-Chi too. You already have Ant-Man over there in San Francisco. Now you have another San Francisco based hero. So
I had literally never heard of this hero until.
I mean, he's a C tier, I would say, which is not to take anything away from him, but he's not, you know, generally speaking, not one of what you think of as the top billing names.
Mm-hmm.
But neither was Iron Man when Iron Man came out. Iron Man was probably consistently a B-tier hero. Everyone was very confused why they were making an Iron Man movie first.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. This movie looks super cool, though. If I don't have sound on for the trailer, but if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend watching it with sound on because they do a lot of good cuts to the beat, including a part where he punches out two guys and then kicks them in the midair at the same time. Yep, there, right there. Ooh, so good. Also, yeah. Awkwafina is in it, and she's great.
Yeah, she's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only sad part for me, and I, you know, here's my thing. You know, a couple years ago when they announced they were going to do this, and the headline was, you know, lead Asian male protagonist, and I was like, sweet. I hope it's not a martial arts hero.
Whoops.
And I was like, oh. And I steps at a time. We'll take it steps at a time.
That's right.
And, you know, the only issue is just that you go, all right, how do we make, you know, we have to do a non-stereotypical Asian lead. So what would he do? Well, we'll do martial arts. No, that's stereotypical, but it is pretty cool. Okay, how about... What if he's like really smart? No.
Hell yeah.
What about like martial arts in general is cool. He just so happens to know martial art. but again, it's in this the story for Shang-Chi is rooted in this whole family affair. So it's very, I guess it's more part of it. I just hope one day we'll just have an Asian lead and he like, I don't know. Is good with guns.
You
he
can
has
have
to fight with something.
He you can have Amadeus Cho. He was the Hulk for a while.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's it. Asian Hulk. That is a possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's interesting. The MCU as a whole is heading in a very I guess you could say it's unmapped territory in terms mm-hmm. of its properties. Like with the Eternals coming out, you know, I think it's the next movie after Shang-Chi.
Yeah, I think it'll be their Christmas movie or their March movie, one or the other.
Yeah, and the Eternals being like an ensemble cast with a bunch of different characters that have nothing to do with like the current storyline, and they're just going to show up. That'll be interesting. We'll see where that goes. Kumail, I forget his. I can never pronounce his
name. Kumail Nanjiani.
Nanjiani, there it is. Yeah, is a great actor, and he's in the. And he is one of the Eternals.
And he is really ripped.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on, bring up that picture. We need to see.
I'll get the Kumail ripped picture. Hold on.
Yeah. So, Andy, you'll recognize him, but remember. The type of characters Kumail normally plays are just like the funny side character, right?
He also had a gaming podcast, or still does. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he with his wife called the Indoor Kids.
That's pretty sweet.
That is a good name, right? And also, god damn it, look at that man.
So it turns out if you ever want to be fit, get casted in a Marvel movie.
Well, yeah, and I think this is the thing that everyone said, okay, this does explain it, that when you get cast in a Marvel movie, they take over your life, because he explained the whole process where he had a nutritionist, he had someone making his dinner, he had a personal trainer. Marvel paid him to get in shape for a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not CGI.
No. Real no, thing. He got that ripped.
Listen, Disney believes in practical effects, okay? God bless him. That's how you get in shape. I need someone to pay me.
Yeah, you need to be cast in a Marvel movie. Andy, he went from comedian, podcaster to in a Marvel movie. There's hope for you yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I could work that hard though.
You also need to understand. You know what I'm also excited about that Eternals movie. Angelina Jolie is in that movie.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, she's part of the Eternals, I believe. Like the group. The Eternals.
Charles, you posed that question about Asian American heroes, or just Asian heroes. I shouldn't even be so nationalistic to say Asian American, but Asian heroes who aren't good at fighting. It's a short list on the Marvel Wiki I'm reading through here. So Jubilee, right? We bring in the X-Men.
Right, right.
Jimmy Just Woo, as we're all acquainted from WandaVision and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yep, Luckily and then, yeah, I mean, you got, you know, the likes of Lady Deathstrike, Silver Samurai, this character called Tiger, the first Tiger spelled with a Y.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who could forget Yukio, Wolverine's Japanese love. we'll get there. I make the promise to you as a white man, we'll get there.
Yeah,
listen, it just takes time.
Who is this character whose only name is Tiger's beautiful daughter?
Oh no, they didn't even give her a name.
We're just gonna bring that up. Mortal weapon of one of the seven cities of heaven. Okay, so she's part of the Iron Fist world. And many a man has found doom at her hand or in her bed.
Whoa, she looks like a Mortal Kombat character.
She does. I mean, a lot of Iron Fist people are kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of backstory.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be interesting to when the Shang-Chi movie comes out, because it feels as if it's going to be yet another ancient evil organization. And there's so many. So many in the world.
I hear, so based on some of the things they've said about the movie is, so it looks like they're setting up that the Mandarin is going to be his dad. And traditionally, that's not true. His dad is in the comics a character named Fu Manchu, which
right, right. Other
races. And the Mandarin was actually just kind of like basically also Fu Manchu. So they're like, why don't we just combine this to let me just combine these to be one racist character instead of two. But it seems like kind of the way they're saying this is that the Mandarin is maybe not necessarily leading a crime organization, although it could possibly be that, but more of kind of like a League of Shadows Batman kind of situation where they're tasked with keeping the peace at whatever means necessary kind of thing. So there's a little bit of that moral gray area.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, that could work. That could be.
I also like the move. They've the Mandarin, Andy, if you don't know, typically wears 10 rings, one on each finger, and it looks dumb.
And the rings are powerful. Yeah. Each of the rings have different powers. If you remember, the Mandarin was portrayed in the Iron Man cartoon in our youth.
Yeah. Yeah. Mandarin is typically an Iron Man villain because it's always science versus magic is how they always set it up.
So he's going to be fighting the Mandarin?
Iron Man?
No, the
Shang-Chi? Probably, because they're setting it up to be his dad. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Mandarin had trained Shang-Chi to be basically the best fighter in the world. And then it backfired on him. Oh, no, he's using his martial arts against me. But they're taking the 10 rings. Instead of them being finger rings, they're actually going to be like 10... arm bracelet kind of deals, which looks actually really cool.
yeah
you could find that scene if you scroll.
Where is he?
It's like him in a training ground, like a date in
the oh yeah, there they are, there's the rings you can see. There's also one where they're in like a restaurant where you can, there it is, where you can really see it. There you go, and you see the rings on his arm.
Oh, okay.
But then he turns the power on, like, where is that? That's further down here.
Oh, there, you just saw it. It turned purple. It glowed purple.
But yeah, so it's kind of, maybe they're going to, I have a sneaking suspicion Shang-Chi is going to end up with those rings. Also, if you look at, there's a poster for the movie where they have him in his hero costume, and it kind of looks like it has the 10 rings on it. Where is it? Poster.
I'm curious. It's been a while since I've seen a martial arts film. Because there was like some Crouching Tiger vibe in that trailer too.
Yeah, there you go. There's the official teaser trailer poster. And then if you look on his cuffs there, that kind of looks like the 10 rings. And also I think we count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, could be 10. 5 each arm. Also, I'm not a fan of this weird short sleeve shirt they gave him as his hero outfit. It looks weird, and I'm.
Well, you can't punch in long sleeves. What if they get all the way?
His traditional outfit in the comics is either kind of like a bodysuit. It's. I guess this is technically racist too. God damn it! But it's usually something like Bruce Lee-ish.
Do it, pussy.
Like a yellow like motorcycle jacket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, bodysuit.
Bodysuit. Oh, it was a bodysuit.
Mm-hmm.
Does he ride a motorcycle? Why am I thinking?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well,
I think you're thinking of a different time. I think you're thinking of the vehicle The Crow, starring Bruce Lee's son Brandon Lee, who also died tragically.
Oh, Crow?
Yeah. Andy, here you go. This is a picture of
Bruce Lee's son?
Yeah. That's a picture of Shang-Chi from the comics, and you see he kind of wears like a bodysuit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And his monkey friend fighting ninjas. Ninjas are a Japanese thing.
Listen, I don't see anything exploitative about this picture.
Oh wow!
Only it's empowering.
Under the rising sun.
You know,
and doves. Really, what? Doves behind him? Oh, wow.
John's really big, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I will say, you know, this became a podcast about representation properly, but I guess, look, I'm willing to accept that, you know, we've done some crazy things in the past. We're getting better. we're getting better. We're going to move forward. I get it. Sure.
Certain verdicts have come down that have been positive for the overall benefit of society.
Yeah, you know, just all overall, we'll take some steps and hopefully we start running towards progress. You know, we'll get there.
Well,
at least it's going to be better than this.
I look forward to taking those steps each day and every day forward. And maybe we'll do that next time on Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I've been joined by...
Charles, not his friend any longer with that bad timing from before.
Listen, and Andy K, and I found out how to run a full virus scan on my computer, which I will start after this.
Oh, right, and you're 58, right? That's why you need to figure this out.
Yeah, well, Andy actually was born. Andy was born long enough ago that his casual racism is acceptable.
Wait, when was I? What did I do? I don't know what I did.
Have a good night, everyone.
It is not easy to run a scam.